This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 11:06 in the morning and you are with Evening Lynn, Morning Lynn and Sharmila. Afternoon Sharmila, since we're doing that. So essentially what we've been doing all day is really being here with you through the news and trying to make sense of it all with updates, analysis. We've also been crossing over to live stream earlier, the press conference that was held by former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, and then the swearing-in ceremony of Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So that gets us all caught up to where we are now. And we've also heard from experts in economics who are pointing out the kind of most immediate priorities that the government needs to have. We're going to be continuing that. We're also going to be speaking shortly with Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18. In the meantime, though, if you would like to share any thoughts, questions, feelings, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And of course, if you want to tell us how you're feeling, you can also call 7733-2900. So, as we know, last July, the Dewan Rakyat passed a bill to amend the federal constitution to lower the voting age to 18. However, this is not going to come into effect until July 2021. And of course, through that all, one of the driving forces was Undi 18, a project by the Malaysian Students Global Alliance, urging the government to lower that minimum age of voting. And now with us is its co-founder, Kira Yusri. Kira, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me today.
Can you give us maybe a snapshot of youth sentiment to current developments?
I think based on online and offline sentiments, just by looking around, you can see that people my age, my peers, are very we're very exhausted. I think it's a lot of frustration coming from the helpless feeling of seeing so many things unfold around you over the past 8 days, but having absolutely no voice and no power to do anything about it. I think this manifests when you see the democracy rallies for the past few days happening in Merdeka, you see a lot of hashtags used online of not my PM and things like that. I think young people are taking, using whatever small resources around them and avenues for them to voice out, because the reality is we have no ability to participate in this game of political elites.
You're using words like helpless. With all that's happened, are you concerned that the youth will actually become more disengaged with politics? Or conversely, do you think this could actually see stronger support for Pakatan Harapan?
I feel like I'm a rather optimistic person. So I do hope that young people will see this as power. They can recognize that this is power being taken away from them as a Malaysian citizen. And I hope that this spurs them to explore avenues on how they can participate in democracy, rather than feeling cynical and feeling like this is something that they want to disengage themselves with. Whether they align with Pakatan Harapan or whatever parties or coalitions out there, I think it's important for young people to participate regardless on every side, just so that we can have a healthier democracy. But I don't think I can say for sure whether young people will be more encouraged to join the Pakatan Harapan coalition, because just like any demographic, I think Malaysian youth are also as diverse politically as anyone else.
Now, Kira, we are also seeing the mobilization of some youth movements, for example, with the protest that took place at Dataran Merdeka last night. So what's your sense of their demands?
I think what they're demanding is essentially what many civil society organizations have been calling out, right? Calling for dissolution of parliament, calling for snap elections. I think because, you know, when you look at the demand that they're having, one of them being snap elections, this is the only way the Rakyat can participate in democracy. So I think what they're saying is that they do want to have a choice in how our leaders are being elected. And I think because we're just so against the idea of a backdoor government where we can really see whether the so-called quote-unquote battle or the so-called fight for Malaysia's government is lies all in the hand of older men. And I think for people, this is just something that's really ridiculous to them. And I think that's where their demands are coming from.
Will today's events have any impact on the implementation of Undi 18, which is scheduled to be implemented next year in July?
So I, from what I understand from a constitutional law expert, is that to gazette undi 18 as well as the automatic voter registration, there's a lot of technical portions to it, right? Like about cleaning up the electoral roll, making sure everyone's information is within the system and things like that. So I hope that with the new administration, that this won't be delayed. This won't be stalled for whatever reason, because from what I understand, the Election Commission is already working on it. I do think that I personally have hopes that it won't be delayed, purely because I think that all sides of the political spectrum see the value in young people being engaged in politics, especially seeing as how even if the under the current under 21s can't vote, those who are under 21s now will be 21. Will be 21 and above the next election, so I hope that they see the value in engaging them and not stall the gazettement of Undi 18, which would allow, I think, today 14, 15-year-olds to vote in the next election.
Now, Kira, we're also seeing a lot of engagement on a change.org petition against a backdoor government. So that has seen nearly 100,000 signatures, nearly doubling overnight and still increasing. So will this be where the youth also trying to get their voices heard?
I think this is one of the ways that we currently are using, I guess, because Undi 18 personally also started the change.org petition, right, about 3-4 years ago. And well, obviously, we didn't get 100,000 signatures, but we managed to make a statement, you know, we managed to hit that public sphere awareness of how important this issue is. I think the signatures prove that the rakyat does have an issue with how the current administration came into power, but legally, change.org doesn't have any, you know, legal consequences or legal, it doesn't apply any actual pressure to anything outside the internet. So I hope that politicians see this as the way, you know, the Pakatan Harapan Coalition see this as the way, okay, the people do believe in democracy. They do want to see a clear functioning democracy. They do want to see the that people do care about it and use that as motivation to ensure that justice prevails.
So you've talked about, you know, this hope that even though people might not be 21 or, you know, might not be 18 yet, there can still be this sense of engagement in our country's politics. How can the youth get involved in, if not directly politics, then at least political engagement?
Yeah, I think it starts, you can, I think for a lot of my students, for example, I work with students from in high school, from high school ages, right? And they come to me a lot asking, what can I do? What can I do? I think the first thing I always ask them back is that, what are you doing to change the situation around you first, right? Because when it comes to community organizing or even community engagement, it doesn't have to necessarily mean taking as big of a step as joining a political party, although that is one way of doing it. Another way is to start speaking with family and friends about issues that are happening around them, you know, asking questions among their peers, asking questions to their family members, their classmates, on what they're feeling and what's the sense take about it. Because I think our culture, when we talk to young people, is that we don't really encourage them to ask questions. Our institutions don't do that. So as an individual, what can we do to encourage people to think critically about what's happening and forming our own judgments and conclusions with enough knowledge on what's happening around us, right? Without falling to similar racist, sexist tropes that certain politicians have been throwing around. So I think this is really important, and why issues like, stuff like political education, critical thinking is so important for young people, because then this allows us to question the situations happening around us without biased judgment.
Kira, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.
That was Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18. And it is worth pointing out, I think, that Undi 18 was one of the very few bills that actually got bipartisan support in Parliament. So I mean, in a time where so much is uncertain, I'm hopeful that that continues. I'm hopeful that it will actually push through in the way that was promised. It was a bright spot. Like, let's not take all the good stuff away.
I think the events of the last 1 week, the sentiment that I'm getting the most really is that taking away of the euphoria and the power that so many people felt, especially young people, first-time voters who came out in droves to make GE14 happen, you know, there's a sense of, well, does this even matter anymore if they can just circumvent my voice as a citizen and make it happen this way? And I think that's why we're seeing this huge support for things like the change.org petition, because there's a lot of disillusionment from young people.
Yes, I was on the ground during GE14, and in my parliamentary constituencies that I was covering, I did speak to a lot of first-time voters who, and you did get that palpable sense of excitement that they were turning out, that they were exercising their democratic right. And how much more of a drain is it to see this happening less than a full term yes. into the government that won the GE14? So I think it is important to stress that, you know, it's not the end of the world. We still do need to keep on being engaged, to keep on trying to keep the government of the day accountable at all times to the people.
So we've been asking you how you feel, and we do have this message from Lindy, who says, "How am I feeling? Cheated, disappointment, disillusioned and sad at the level of politicians we have. They simply don't have maturity and are just interested in advancing their own agenda. The people's needs and wants are not on their mind at all. Malaysia has taken several steps backward." And I think that really speaks to the level of exhaustion that many feel at the kind of politicking and horse trading that we've been seeing over the past week. I mean, regardless of the outcome, I think being caught in the middle of this discussion and knowing that it is not a discussion that actually involves you, everyone says that it's about you, but it isn't really, is a difficult feeling to have.
And also the lack of information, the lack of people sort of coming out and explaining what's happening as it's happening, instead waiting days or you know, even up to a week to actually understand why decisions were made. Everything was literally done behind closed doors, and we just see the final point of that decision.
Even just the term horse trading, I hate it, because it makes me think, you know, are we the horses in question here? Because what you're doing is playing with the fate of the Malaysian public.
So we have more messages that we're going to get to after this. If you want to tell us how you're feeling, you can call us 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Economics Associate Professor Dr. R. Ratneswari Virasya from Taylor's University. That's coming up. Keep it here. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.